everyone, welcome to the IMI Fusioncast, where we used to hear and we talk about games. And this week, Fortnite, whatever time period has expired, we're back down to the arcade again with me, Tony, and my good buddy and also arcade enthusiastic person, Malk.
Hi.
Yay! Back again, and we decided because I think we really enjoyed doing the last podcast, which we did on the arcades and the memories which we had. So I think we decided we'd go back into it again, and this time look at a specific genre of arcade, haven't we?
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and what did I pick out the bag for this one?
You picked out light gun shooting games.
That's the first thing we can all sit down and look at. But first of all, you haven't been on the podcast for a while. What have you been playing of lately?
No, I've been playing quite a few games, actually, all on Steam. I've been playing King of the Fighters 13, which I do actually really like, because I'm not a fan of King of the Fighters at all, but that one is really good.
What made you change your mind about it now that you played this one?
It just plays a lot better, because the reason I didn't like King of the Fighters originally is, I think, because of the first time I ever played them was a PlayStation port, which has horrendous loading. Literally, every time you change your fighter, when you lose your one fighter, you go on to the next one, don't you? It has to load that up. So it completely ruins the game, and I just didn't like the bad English in it neither, because it's got terribly English, as they say. And just didn't like the game, basically. But I do like the SNK, other fighters they do, and the new one is really good. It looks incredible. I've actually recorded a video, which I haven't done the soundtrack for yet, but I will do. And as soon as I've done that, I'll upload it, showing what it's like. But it is really impressive. And I've been playing, actually, a light gun game, but it's called Typing of the Dead, Overkill. But you can actually have the PlayStation 3 version of House of the Dead Overkill, which does actually work with the Aimtrex light gun really well.
Oh, that's cool. I think that was a very good thing which Sega did with the PC port of that game, with actually being able to have... You've basically, in essence, got two games in one with that. The standard typing version, and you've also got the shooting version as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. And did you know they updated it recently for online play?
I never knew that. I know something about to include things from Shakespeare, which I thought, so I didn't download that update. But yeah, if it includes online play, I'll actually buy that update, because Andrew's got it, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's free. The update's free. You can just download it from him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, get in there and find it, and you and Andrew could either shoot people to death or type people
to
death.
We'll have to try that tonight. It won't be typing, because I'm crap at typing. But the shooting's really good. As I say, it's probably one of the best light gun games, actually, I've got on a PC.
It's good. But not many people have the light gun, because one, they either don't know it exists, or two, they're not fussed how they all work, because with the old school retro light guns, they don't work properly with the new monitors, because basically they're not CRT, so of course the difference is there.
They don't work at all, actually, if you try using an old-fashioned one. And the other thing is why a lot of people probably won't get the new light gun, because it's about £60.
Yeah, it's true. But do you reckon it's worth the money, though?
If you're into them games, yeah, definitely.
It works similarly to a Wii U, doesn't it? With the way it traces the cursor on the screen.
Yeah, because it's sort of got a camera in it, and the sensor bar on top sees, when it detects where the camera is, somehow it detects where it is actually aligned on the screen, and it works that sort of way, with infrared.
Oh, that's good. So essentially, you could shoot your desktop and it would work.
Yeah. I could do that now, actually, but I'm not going to in case it ends this call. Because it's linked up.
You don't know how awesome that would sound. You're sitting there talking to someone on Skype and they're just absolutely pissed off. You just pull out your Aimtrex light gun and shoot the end call.
You could do that, but the thing with... When you're doing it using it as a mouse, it's quite difficult to use like that. It works better in the game, and the best thing is you don't have to keep recalibrating it, because it actually saves it in the gun itself. It doesn't save it in Windows. Windows just detects it without the driver, just as a PC mouse.
Ah, very interesting.
But you can remap the buttons, or even make it act as a joypad instead of acting as a mouse at all. So yeah, it's definitely, as I said before, definitely worth getting if you're after something like that that does actually work, because there's a lot of them that don't actually work, as I said on my video.
Did you try it with the previous House of the Dead games as well?
Yeah, I've done videos on my channel of... In fact, I could after we do this, edit them videos together, record a voice track, and then upload it to our site, showing it, because I've done it on Time Crisis, House of the Dead, House of the Dead 2, PC version, House of the Dead 3, PC version, Area 51, Point Blank. And that's all I can think of at the moment. I may have done more. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So as Devi said, and you haven't uploaded a video to the site for a while, so I think it's your turn.
Yeah, I will do that. When I get a chance over the weekend, I'll edit them all together and then just record, you know, a voiceover for it, basically. Because at the moment they don't. And the only problem with those videos is, obviously, you can't use Fraps to record something like that, because as soon as you start moving the light gun and it goes out the screen you're recording Fraps with, it'll mess the game up. So the only way you can record it... Yeah, it'll minimize it basically straight away. So it's a nightmare to actually record it like that. And some of the PC ones, you can't get rid of the cursor, which is annoying.
But they were never designed to use that light gun, so you have to take them off
of the screen. House of the Dead 2 is designed to use a PC Sega light gun, but it is the old-fashioned sort of light gun that I've never seen for sale anywhere, not on eBay or nothing, and it does say in the instructions, not available in all countries. So I would imagine, you know, how the old VGA monitors used to work, basically there was like the, you know, the old-fashioned...
The old TVs, yeah.
So that's why I don't think a lot of them included it, you know.
Fair enough. Anything else you've been playing?
Yeah, I've been playing Call of Duty Ghost on the 360, which, in all fairness, I don't think is as bad as, like, what people make out. I know the PC version is absolute shite, but I didn't think the 360 one was nowhere near as bad as I imagined. I'm not saying I think it's a good game or that I'd buy it. I just don't think it's as bad as, like, some of the other Call of Duty games, because at least the maps are better.
I'm just not going to bother. I know a free weekend's coming up, so we can all get on to the PC version.
Well, yeah, of course, when it comes to free weekend, I'll definitely play it, because I'm curious to see how bad the PC version actually is.
Well, by all rights, I'm the only person on the team that has an NVIDIA graphics card, so by right, it should run fine on mine, and yours one should suck. I still think there was a special deal between Activision and NVIDIA over that whole thing.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I reckon there was something in the background, because why would NVIDIA announce the games, what the game needs to run? Wouldn't it be Activision's job?
That's true, actually, yeah.
Precisely. That's little inkling to something else go wrong. Unfortunately, I've not played anything much additional, because we only recorded the other podcast a couple of days ago. So, I ain't done nothing much. We reinstalled Armour. Too, because we're going to have another play around on Daisy.
Oh yeah, I've got that as well, because I bought a load of games on Steam, and I got Armour 2, Daisy, and a few of the other mods for it, which I haven't played them properly, but I will have a go, you know, with views lot on there, because I have problems controlling it, because it's got so many bloody controls.
Yeah, well, I think we all do now. If anybody want to get started in Daisy, this is a good feature to do. Even though Steam does have a direct link through for Daisy, I don't recommend it. I actually recommend the Daisy Commander, as it comes as an all-in-one software package which can send servers, update your Armour 2 to the latest additions, and keep track of all the other additional Daisy and additional Daisy mods as well. It's a really nice all-in-one package and works quite well.
I'll have to get that myself, because I've just got it on Steam.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Hold a second. This is going to be podcasters at the moment, because I reckon I've probably still got in the... Yep, hold a second, mate. This is going to be a live transfer of program. There you go, dude. Right. Now that's that. Now Malk is sorted with a better alternative. Let's get back to the arcade.
Right.
I think all members of the team really can remember the arcade. Jenny's possibly the only one who doesn't, because arcades weren't exactly big over in Holland, or I don't think her age would really permit it for that side. But we're going back to the arcade, and we're going to remember shooting games. So picking up that light gun, it was always good for me when you're sitting there. Playing with the old joystick was always really, really nice on the whole thing, but When you got the guns in your hands, you're like, yeah, this is awesome. But I'll tell you what, mate, I'll let you pick the first game that comes to your mind.
Wow, the first one that I'm going to pick is one that you don't actually like, as we sort of talked about before, Konami's Lethal Enforcers.
Go into more detail about Lethal Enforcers.
Well, Lethal Enforcers came out in 1990. I may be wrong, it may have been 89. But I think basically that it was sort of a cash in on the Lethal Weapon sort of franchise, I believe. And basically, you played a part of one or two cops, and it's got digitized graphics of the Konami's cast, and you basically shoot, you know, all the bad guys that are holding up a bank first, and then you go on to different missions. There's one in Chinatown. And the thing that has that no other lightgun game had until then, the ability to actually reload the gun. You had to aim the gun outside the screen and then press the trigger. And since then, obviously, pretty much every lightgun game uses that.
Yeah, it came a standard sort of thing. Can you think of any upsides for the game? over anything on the downside?
Well, the upsides for it, as I say, the reloading the gun makes it a lot more difficult than like your Operation Wolf, where you don't have to reload it at all. If you're lucky, you'll get it come on the screen, you know, a clip of ammo, and then you just shoot it and it automatically reloads it. And if you run out of ammo on Operation Wolf, you're fucked, ain't you? It's like...
It slows it right down, doesn't it?
Well, when it completely runs out, it says you might as well join the prisoners. Have you ever seen that on it?
No, I've not.
Try that on MAME, just firing at nothing and just completely run out of ammo, and that's what it'll say. You have run out of ammunition, you might as well just join the prisoners. And it's a game over for doing that.
I'm back to Lethal Enforcers. We can get back to Operation Wolf in a minute, so
it's really like corny and you know, camply acted. Like, you get the people that are robbing the bank, come on, you can't get me, pig. And yet you shoot them straight away. And then you get people that look like they're not actually bad people and then just turn around and shoot you, like a woman and stuff. Which sort of mixes it up and makes it more interesting in that way. And it's got, like, ridiculous bits where you get, like, 40 people in one car and unrealistic things like that. And you go down one street and the background just keeps repeating itself.
That was one of the things that got to me. Yeah, the whole digitised thing was corny as hell, and if the game could become horribly predictable in all aspects, but to give the all honesty, they could have tried a bit harder. They really, really could have tried a bit harder with that one. I personally think Konami did a real lazy job.
Well, in all fairness, I think it was one of the first, like, games like that to use digitised actors instead of just, like, you know, everything being drawn. So they were trying to make it more realistic in that way.
But you know one thing, I'd rather take the drawn ones over that any day of the week.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's aged incredibly badly. I think certain parts of it, like on the PlayStation 1, look even worse than what they do on the arcade, because it's, like, so blocky. When you get things, like, really close to the screen, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and also when you shoot them, they just go for, like, one animation, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, bleh,
yeah, like, and then die, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they just blink and vanish. It's like, oh, come on. This is like, seriously, you could have done it. It's like, you're digitizing actors. You can't get them to do a death sequence? it's like, oh, you just suck. And guess what? Konami made a sequel, didn't they?
They've made, Lethal Enforcers 2, Gunfighters, which is set in the West. Which makes no sense whatsoever. Apparently there's a Lethal Enforcers 3 as well, but I've never played that or seen it anywhere. That's like, it's all polygonized, you know. It's more fun.
Well, I'll tell you one game which was a shooting game which was done by Konami, which I thought was good. Did you ever see Police 24/7?
Yeah. The only thing with that is it makes you look like a twat, because you've got to lean out of the way and stuff. It works, looks really good. I've played it once, ever, like. And that was at a cinema in Bermuda, near where I live, where there's this like place between Bedworth and Nuneaton called Bermuda Park Industrial Estate, which has like a McDonald's, a showcase, a bowling alley, a gym. You know, it's just a little shitty thing, basically. Mm. And they had that there, and that's the only time I've ever seen it anywhere.
Mm. But the whole thing I like about the whole sort of thing is, like, to get undercover, you literally had to move about. You could freely move about, and there was a sensor on it. And this is where I keep setting the thing to people. Look, Kinect isn't new.
No, it's not. No, you had to stand in a certain bit, though, didn't you? It says it on the thing. And believe it or not, the PS2 port of it does use a PlayStation Eye camera and does a similar thing.
Yeah, it does.
I've never played it though. but apparently it's quite a good port of it.
Yeah, precisely. And this is what made it. It actually made you active. You sweat a lot while you're playing that game as well. It's like, especially if you're good at the game, then you're going to be on there for a good while. By the time you finish the game, you put the gun down, you're like sitting there and buckets of sweat pouring off you.
But as I say, to be fair though, you do look a twat while you're playing it.
It's true, but then again, it's worth it in the long run if you're good at the game. But no, the use of the sensor to me was really, really good.
Was that one of the first games to use it? I think it was.
There was that, and there was a boxing game as well.
I've never seen that, I don't think.
Yeah, I played the boxing game once, and that was pretty good, but we're not here to talk about boxing games on that one. I'm dying here. Right, off trail.
We just have to edit it. Like, as I say, I'll...
Yeah. We haven't had outtakes for a while. Right. Let's see. Did Konami have any other shooters?
They had a few.
A few, but nothing that really, really stuck out, was it?
Let me have a look. I'll start my aim up.
Yeah. while Malk is looking, let's have a look, see who else. Well, we know Namco themselves.
See, they had a thing with, in the 90s, they were sort of versing Sega. Sega would do like Daytona, Namco, no, I think Namco done Ridge Racer first, or was it Sega done Daytona, they done Ridge Racer, then Sega done Virtua Cop, so Namco did Time Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Didn't you remember the day when there was good old competition?
And it's Virtua Fighter, Namco did Tekken.
Yeah.
Namco used to always, pretty much, even though I do like Sega and I'm a big fan of their games, Namco used to usually outdo them.
That's true. Well, let's look at Namco first. Let's go first with possibly what I think is their best shooter, Point Blank.
Yeah, of course, Point Blank, yeah.
Point Blank. Now, Point Blank to me, if I'm out and about and if I ever see a Point Blank machine, and your testament to this, I will always bang money in and play. Always. Because I friggin' love that game. And it's just a simplistic cartoon, hit X amount of targets, hit this target position, but it's so addictive and just done so well. Simplicity is at its best with Point Blank, and the home console ports are perfect.
Yeah.
Because, let's put it this way, they can't get it wrong. And not only that, it also spawned off a couple of imitators as well. I think there's someone called Zero Point.
Yeah, that's the one I was playing, and I said that it was a blatant rip-off. And you said, oh, well, any game with that's got a shooting alley and all this can't just be a rip-off. And I said, no, but how it comes up, like, very hard. And how it's got the two characters, like Dr. Dan and Dr. Don, they've sort of nicked them as well. I'm surprised Namco didn't sue them.
Well, you got to remember, Dr. Dan and Dr. Don are legendary, so...
Yeah, but they have basically ripped the entire game off, blatantly, exactly. As well. I don't think it's as good. It has got some of the graphics that are better on it, though.
But it does have the charm.
No, it don't.
That's the thing. Point Blank had a lot of charm and a lot of really good stuff, which made that game really good. The game itself, it's just a joy to play, no matter which one it is, Point Blank, Point 2. I think Point Blank 3 was a PlayStation exclusive.
No, there's an arcade version of that.
There is an arcade version. Oh, fair enough. But they're just a joy to play. And they're just like... And it also gives you a sort of skill level as well. But it is a coin guzzler if you're not good at it. I will now that. And coming back to Konami, I did think of another one of their games that was good.
Yeah.
Silent Scope,
yeah. I've only ever played that once. But that is
what
really
did you
good.
Think of it?
Yeah, it's good how it works. It doesn't work on any of the ports, though, because obviously you haven't got the big sniper rifle with a scope. So the Dreamcast and the PS2 ports of it aren't nowhere near as good. Just for the simple fact that they don't have the right gun.
Yeah, I do like the machine. It's great. You sit on the machine, big sniper's rifle. You can look at the screen to roughly see where the target is, aim roughly, and then look. You literally have to look down the scope. But I think the sniper scope is it. I think it isn't actually a zoom. It's just another screen.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just another very small rounded screen, which just matches the comparison for the area. But it is really, really good. And again, it's one of the few games where you hit them counted as well. And that even includes on the boss fights too. If you they bust a certain amount of health, if you hit him in the chest or the hand, like, you'll do 1 point. But if you actually smack him in the head, you'll nab a third of his health off. So I'm thinking, like, yeah, that's actually really quite good.
They did do, Konami did do one that's a sort of, it's a really impressive cabinet, and it's huge, but the game's not actually really that good, and that's got a PlayStation and Saturn port as well. Crypt Killer.
Oh, Crypt Killer, yes, I remember
it
that.
It is
one.
A massive cabinet. I think it might have more than one monitor, it's that big. And you've got three, is it three or four?
It's three.
Pump action shotguns.
That was another good one. But again, it didn't really have a story to be memorable about it. And that's kind of what let it down.
The graphics
and
were terrible as well. Because they were sort of digitised off stop motion animation things. And when they're close to the screen, even on the arcade version, they're really blocky.
Yeah. See, the other side is the shooting games that didn't really have stories, possibly with the exception of Point Blank, they're the ones that get forgotten in the long run. And it's a shame, really, that these ones do go thing. And thank God for MAME, who keep trying to drag them back up again.
There was a couple of decent games Sega did before that. Line of Fire, which I know you don't like the ports of it, but the arcade version was pretty good. And there's one called Laser Ghost, which on the arcade actually has like this thing on the gun, and you can see a laser going from that to the screen. I've only ever seen the arcade version when I was a kid, but it was really impressive how it works. And obviously on MAME or any way you emulate it, it doesn't have that.
Yeah, well, this is the first thing. If my YouTube channel has got a review on the Spectrum port of Line of Fire, and it is fucking horrendous.
I think in all fairness, it's not very good even on the Amiga and ST.
Well, at least on the Amiga and ST, you can actually say, oh, that's a soldier. You look on the Spectrum version, oh, that's a digitized mess of triangles and squares. They don't even resemble what they're supposed to be. The game itself is, it's frigging awful.
US gold, ain't it, I think.
Yes. that's the best way to describe that. But I had a really good memory on Science Scope once. I was in London with my friends, and we did the shooting gallery. And one of my mates was sitting there, he'd done the shooting gallery, and he finished off with a rank C. And he was quite happy with that one.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there laughing, and I said, look, mate, your pants. And he sits there and goes, I'd like to see you do better. And he goes, that's right, fair enough then. If I do better than you, you've got to pay for my game. You've got to give me the money back. And he goes, yeah, fair enough then. So I sat there, did the shooting gallery, came out, rank A, public enemy number one. He was so pissed when he had to hand the money over to me. jogging back to Namco, let's look at the Time Crisis games. Is there any distinctive memories for those games that
stick
out
for you? I ever played Time Crisis, that was when we went to Mablethorpe. Me and a couple of my mates went. We just went camping. My mate Rich, who you've actually spoke to, he drove in his Mini when he had this like gold Mini. And that was when it was first out. I think it was a quid a go.
And still is.
In some places, yeah, it still is. And it's a really good... I mean, it runs basically on... I think it's Namco. I'm not sure what board it is. But it is basically just like a slightly enhanced PlayStation board. Because of the PlayStation port of it, obviously, is massively inferior to the arcade version. Some people still have trouble emulating it on MAME. Because if you haven't got a really good, like...
video card.
Well, no, it's not so much your video card. It's more your processor, to be fair. Because I've tried it on computers with the same card that's in my computer, and it still will run it slow. Whereas if you haven't got, I think, at least 3 gigahertz, quad-core processor, it'll run it really, like jerky, especially if you try running it on a single-core processor. Don't even bother.
Yeah, I remember when the 3D games first came into that, and they were really, really thing, and I was only using a single core processor at the time.
It's a Namco 22 something. The actual board is that it runs on.
So I can remember I played the first one. The second one is my standout memory, because I went down to a bowling alley while I was at college at lunch, and Me and my mate, we sat there and said, oh, come in, because the second one was what introduced the two-player mode.
Yeah.
to the whole thing. So we put £1 each, and we finished the whole game on a single credit. We was like, but it was just an immense thing, because we sat there, we had a crowd of people behind us cheering us on, and in my head was like, shit, I cannot let these people down, because they were seeing me doing so well.
Yeah.
And that one. And I don't know, your adrenaline kicks in and you just play better.
I think the main thing that sets that apart from other games similar to it is the reload feature on that. You have to put your foot on the pedal and then you let go of the pedal to duck out of the way, don't you?
Yeah.
And no other game used that at the time. And it does work really well. And now the gun recoils like on Point Blank. Every time you fire the barrel bit, I can't think what it's actually called.
Oh, the chamber.
The chamber just recoils backwards and forwards every time you press the fire, and it works really well. And I do actually believe the level layout and that on Time Crisis 1 is better than the second one.
It's true, but the level layout had to be slightly different because they were then accompanying for two players.
That's true as well, yeah, and one of them goes one way and then the other player goes the other. But Time Crisis 2 is actually emulated on MAME, but it doesn't work 100%. It's pretty shitty how it emulates it.
It's true, but like I say, they have to work out these bugs. And
I think Time Crisis 2 even uses the same hardware as the first one on the arcade. Because if you see the PlayStation 2 port of it, it uses Namco 23 hardware on the arcade, whereas the PlayStation 2 port of it is like leagues ahead of the arcade version. The arcade version looks terrible compared to it.
Well, that's good. Well, there is always the one common thing with all Time Crisis games. That wild dog just won't die, will he?
No, he's even in Time Crisis 4 as well.
Oh, man.
Seriously? I'm not sure if he's in the third one or not. I don't think...
Yeah, he is.
Is he? And he's in Time Crisis 4 because he's at the start of it. They should have made a game about him because they changed the characters in all the Time Crisis games. Richard Miller's only in the first one. He's in the dodgy PlayStation only one. What's that called?
Project Titan.
Yeah, I've never played that, but it looks shite, so I didn't bother with that. He's not in Time Crisis 2, because that's got two new blokes. Time Crisis 3's got two new ones. Time Crisis 4 has got two new ones. Well, it's got three people, actually, in that. It's got that bloke with the dreadlocks. He's an idiot. Captain Rush or something. It should be Frush, because he's an irritating cunt. He just gets in the way. He does, he's an idiot. I do like on the later sequels of the Time Crisis games, they can change weapons, though. I think that started on Time Crisis 3, where you shoot it sort of in a certain way. I think it's at the bottom of the screen. You've got a finger. You can change the machine gun to your lot shotgun, you know.
Shotgun,
And it's really good. It works really well.
Did you play Crisis Zone?
No, I've never played it, and... I've never seen it on the arcade. The reason I didn't get it on the PS2 is because apparently it flashes so much it makes a game unplayable because you've got a machine gun on that.
Yes, that's very true. But it's kind of the same sort of thing, but instead of hide and hide cover, you've basically got a lot of riot shield.
Yeah.
So basically when you're in cover, you've got the riot shield up and then it pulls it down and you can fire out again. So it, in essence, it's a bit lazy, but...
It does look good, though. I mean, I've seen videos... of the arcade version, it does look impressive, but I know the PlayStation port is ruined because of the flashing, but there's no other way they could do it. I mean, I don't know how the arcade version works. I know Time Crisis 4 uses the same sort of thing like what my PC gun does, because it's got the sensors on the actual arcade machine. HD, ain't it, Time Crisis 4 is? Same as the PS3 port of it.
Yes, so they're going to need to do that. What was there was two other games Namco did. One was Ninja Assault. I think it was Ninja Assault.
Shit. It's shit. I played that. It's basically like... I think they did that with something to do with Sega. Because it sort of is like House of the Dead, but with ninjas.
Yeah. And with undead ninjas. And I can see where you're getting at, but it kind of didn't grab the feel like Time Crisis did in Namco's range. And they did a sort of vampire one as well, but again, that was generic 22.
Yeah, that's rubbish. I didn't like that one either.
Yeah. So that was just like, it's like, yeah, you're trying to... Other than that, I don't think Namco had anything else which really stuck out. I think that was possibly that... Time Crisis was possibly their best show.
It's probably one of them. It's definitely in the top three of the best Lycan games, I think, the Time Crisis series.
It's one of those where if you want to get the real feel for it, you've got to play it on the arcade.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so then that brings us round to their competitor, who I'd probably say was their mainline competitor, and that's Sega. Two franchises stick out: Virtua Cop and House of the Dead. Which one shall we start off with first?
Well, Virtua Cop came out first.
Yeah, so we'll go for it. Now, I liked Virtua Cop. I really did, because they basically took what Lethally Forces was supposed to have done and applied it. it was good. It was one of the first shooters to be totally rendered in 3D as well.
Yeah, the first one does look a bit dodgy though now. When you see it, it's good how it sort of does that target thing and then zooms into where you've got to shoot and gives you, you know, a certain amount of time to shoot them. And it does work really well on the arcade. It looks good. The Saturn version of it is pretty much arcade perfect. Maybe slightly worse textures, but it's still really good.
Yeah, and that's surprising coming from a machine that was never designed to do 3D.
No, but I think they obviously put a lot of effort into it because it weren't an exclusive as such, was it? Because there's a PC version called Virtua Squad. But originally,
and they actually
did release
it.
Yeah,
they did release it. But it was good, and I did like the bit where they appeared. You had the timer sort of cursors around them as well.
Yeah.
So it basically helped you out in knowing it's like, oh well, I've got to shoot that in that one. But then every now and then they'll throw one in where you'll see the biggest one, who's got the slow building one, but then one will appear in the background, but he's got a fast moving one. So it throws you off. So you don't always sit there and go for the one that's obvious. You've got to keep your wits about you. And they were the ones that actually did reuse their characters because they bought the original two characters back in Virtua Cop 2.
Yeah, I can't remember what their names were. And that I know that there's a female one called Janet.
Janet, yeah.
She's in Virtua Cop 2. Virtua Cop 2 is a lot better graphically and everything. And it's only got, I think, three missions. Mind you, saying that Time Crisis has only got three anyway.
Yeah, and the original Virtua Cop.
Yeah.
I missed out playing Virtua Cop 3, so I don't know.
I've seen it. They've got it at Southend, believe it or not. And when we went, we just walked straight past it. Because between recording these two podcasts about arcades, we went to Southend, didn't we? And we went to
Lucky Sevens
and that. But yeah, we just walked straight past Virtua Cop 3. They had it at Southend.
Oh man! Well, if we go down there again, we got to check out and see what's there. There was another game that came out in the middle and the in between. Was it Confidential Mission?
Yeah, that's by Sega.
That's what I say.
Basically, that is they used to have that when I first moved down to Colchester, still in the bowling alley. I don't think they've got it now. That's like what they did is they sort of took the woman out of X-Files and took James Bond and then put them in the same sort of game with this little midget bloke with a gun thing that you sort of chase after him through the levels. I never played it much, but I played it a bit, and I thought it was all right. It's pretty good. Dreamcast port of it's really good.
Yeah, it's very good. The thing is, when I first saw it first, I was thinking, oh, this must be another part of the Virtua Cop series, but it wasn't.
No.
On that one. But it did have some various different effects, which Virtua Cop didn't have. I know there's part on, was it the first stage where you go through, and then, like, gas starts coming into the room, then you look at the scene, and you have to basically shoot the what's ignited the gas with sort of like a goo, so it had a spy feeling to the whole sort of thing of gadgetry and
it sort of looks like James Bond, the guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they wanted to go a different way with the whole sort of thing, but it kind of didn't go on Virtua Cop's popularity on that one. So
no, it's not as popular as the other games. I don't think it's a bad game though.
And so, it was a good little bit of fun on that one. And then we go to Sega's. I think this is Sega's granddaddy shooter series, which is House of the Dead. I definitely think that is the one. If you want to talk about Sega's light gun games, that is the one which sticks out the most.
Yeah, definitely the best one they've ever done. Well, best series of light gun games. The first one's really good. It's got really bad graphics now, though, if you see it. They've still got that south end. The gun doesn't work at all.
Mm.
And it looks like absolute shit on the monitor.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad. Like, you know, polygonized mess. The Saturn port of that is terrible. Like, the PC port of it is the same as the Saturn one. Real shit, like, half the texture's missing. Because I remember reading... Because I used to have a Sega Saturn and a PlayStation. And I remember reading in the Saturn magazine when House of the Dead was in development. There was slate in the PlayStation version of Time Crisis saying, oh, how bad the low-res textures are and that. Which, granted, it has got low-res textures and stuff. You know, it's nowhere near as good as the arcade version. But then when that came out, House of the Dead on the Saturn, I mean... It's incomparable compared to the PlayStation's Time Crisis. It is terrible. It's missing textures all over the place. You know, polygon cliffing. It just looks a mess. A low-res mess. It plays really well, though. You know, it does play like the arcade one. It just looks like shit, though.
Yeah. And then of course, they did House of the Dead 2, which was a big improvement in the arcade section on the graphics.
Dreamcast, that's really good. The PC version's arcade perfect.
Yeah. But the good thing is they continued the story.
Yeah, it does. It carries on from the first one with the Curium Mansion incident and that, and it's set a few years later with different agents.
Yeah, and so it carries on. And then they did the sequel, House of Dead 4. Whoops, no, so yeah. Sega did a Street Fighter where basically the events of Street Fighter 4 happened before Street Fighter 3. And basically the events of House of the Dead 4 happened before House of the Dead 3.
Yeah, that's right. I've only played 4 on the arcade a few times. One of the times when I was with you, when we was at the Truck Zero. And I've done really well on it. Because on that one, you have to shake the machine gun to reload it, don't you? Instead of shooting off the screen, which is pretty good.
That is very, very good. Because that is one of the best things I like about it. Because it was always a pain in the ass firing away from the screen.
Yeah.
In case you saw something like this one. But with your bit just to shoot there, you could literally reload it just by flicking your wrist.
Yeah.
But what also they did, whereas Time Crisis just switched to a gun swap model, they extend out with House of the Dead 4 the ability for the zombies actually jump on you, so you have to shake the gun to get them off you.
Yeah.
Kick them away.
That's right. And graphically, the arcade version of that is, I reckon it's incredible. I've never played the PlayStation 3 port of it, but I've seen videos, and I don't think the PlayStation 3 port of it looks anywhere near as good as the arcade.
It plays the same. I'll give it. It plays exactly the same. There's the right amount of zombies, but the colouring seems off.
It don't look as good. I don't know. It's hard to explain because the arcade one is incredible, right? When you see it, especially how many zombies and everything it has on the screen and stuff.
Yeah,
and the PlayStation
one.
Yeah, the PlayStation one. From what I've seen of it, I think Andrew even said it because Andrew's got it on his PS3. And he even said, yeah, it's not as good graphically as the arcade one.
But it plays the same.
And you'd expect it to be able to do a perfect port of it.
This is the thing. Apparently there was something inside the actual graphics engine which the PlayStation can't do.
Oh, I didn't know.
And judging by the looks of it, it looks like something the Xbox can't do either, because there's no Xbox 360 port of the game.
No, hopefully, if Overkill does really well, they'll port it to the PC as well, because every other House of the Dead game is on it. But I wouldn't hold my breath. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but the good thing what they did with like I said, they did it as a continuous story. Oh, so all the games linked into one big story.
Yeah, because the third one goes, which is set after the before is yeah after the fourth one is where his daughter and Rogan's daughter
and G
go in. Yeah. And they've got pump action shotguns on that. That one's pretty good.
That one is very good. I like the fact they sat there. So, well, we've had two machines with guns. Do we really need a third one with guns? And they thought, let's try shotguns.
Yeah.
And so they opt for something a little different, and that was good. Then, of course, when they were obviously planning House of the Dead 4, they were turning around. Right, we're going to have zombies everywhere. Shotguns aren't going to cut it. You need rapid fire weapons.
Another good Sega shooter, which is a new one, going slightly off the topic, I talked about before, Rambo's really good as well.
Ooh, we'll get to the arcade one soon, because I do ones that have only been in arcades. We'll get to that one then soon. But the other thing that House of Dead 4 did really well was the weak point in the boss characters.
Yeah.
That I like, because on a lot of games, especially with things like Virtual Cop, you can pretty much shoot the person anywhere and he'll take damage. And to put it that way, it didn't require very much skill.
No.
To be truthful, guys. But the House of the Dead always had that upscale advantage with the weak point on all the boss monsters. So that means you had to have a certain degree of accuracy to stop them hitting you. And both you and I, we've been to the Magician. We know how much hell that is.
Well, that, on that, that one, when it's actually before you fight him, it doesn't show you what his weak point is.
No, it does.
On one of the versions, I think on the first House of the Dead, because all the other bosses, it shows you where the weak point is, where it comes up with what the boss is, and obviously on the Saturn version, whatever, it's loading while it's doing that, and that's where it shows you where the weak point is, but it doesn't say which one it is.
But the good thing is, yeah, it says I know, but the good thing is you can see it, because the parts where you can shoot glow. Because if you remember on the side with House of the Dead 2, it's his arm and its leg, and his leg. And you could tell which arm and leg it is because they're pulsing.
Yeah.
On that one. But the amount of projectiles he showers down upon you is just like... it's like when the Magician at the end of the original House of the Dead was a mission.
Yeah.
It really, really was. And when I killed him on House of the Dead 2, I'm like thinking, thank God for that. What? There's another stage? And what was the boss at the end of House of the Dead 2? What was his name? The Emperor.
I've never completed House of the Dead 2. It's that hard. I've only ever completed the first one, the third one. Never played the fourth one enough, because as I say, I've only played it in the arcade. And Overkill.
Yeah, the Emperor, basically, he's got his normal sort of attacks like the Wizard.
Yeah.
But you could clearly see you got to hit him in his chest because there's a pulsing ball in there. But he can randomly use all the boss's attacks. He can do that. It's like all of a sudden he'll change into the tower and then go to bite you. So you've got to shoot it in its gob quickly. Or he'll change into the Hierophant and then he'll come down on top. So you've got to shoot it in the chest cavity on that one. And so on and so forth. So it keeps you on your toes. So you've got to sit there and say, all right, he switched to this boss. That's his weakness. Bang, 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 bang. And then quickly deal with the situation. So that was a really, really good. But that game guzzled coins. But I think it was also the same when you saw me down there. It's like, let's see, I want to play this game. Right, click, click. Dual wielding, bitches.
Oh, yeah, when you're playing the Silent Hill one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot about that one, because that was a more recent one, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've never actually played it myself.
Yeah. The Silent Hill one was actually pretty good. It followed suit to Silent Hill. Starts on a boat, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
And and your only ever chance where you can physically get Sea Pyramid Head in your face with it. But Silent Hill 1, my own honest opinion, was good. Yeah, I was dual-wielding, so I paid for two guns, which, in essence, did make the game somewhat harder. And I was kind of showboating a little, so... But it was fun, and it was true to Silent Hill. It worked very, very well. I'd like to play that one again at some point, but it's hard to find the machine now.
I don't think they've got it at Southend anymore.
No, they don't. But
last time we went, did they? They had it the time before... And then the other place was at Trocadero, which is shut down now.
Yeah, and they had one there. But that was a really, really nice one. Just go on to the final part of it. You mentioned about the Rambo one, so.
Yeah, that's one that's not that old. Well, I say not that old, it is now. But I think that came out about 2011, 2010. Basically, it follows all three of the Rambo movies, sort of put into one. And... it uses massive machine guns. I think they're like AK-47s or something. There's two versions of the machine. There's one that uses a really big cabinet with big machine guns, massive monitor, and then there's the one that uses two Uzis and a smaller monitor. And what's really good about that is any of the enemies can actually shoot you, because as soon as they come on the screen and aim at you, it comes up with a timer, counting down, and they can actually shoot you. And obviously later on the enemies... get a lot quicker at shooting you, and you can get this thing called Rambo Rage, where it sort of makes you indestructible for a certain amount of time, and you can just blast the shit out of them, like Rambo does in the films.
Yeah, steroids on. That was.
I don't know whether it's Stallone's voice or anything, but I don't think graphically it's that good. Actually, I wouldn't imagine it runs on that good of hardware, but it still is a really impressive game. You know how much things are on the screen, and just sort of follow the Rambo movies, which there isn't many Rambo games that are actually that good, I don't think.
Yeah. That's very, very true. What's one of the Terminator Salvation one?
Never played it because I don't like the movie.
I played that one, Dad. That was a very impressive looking game. It was an amazing looking
game.
What
does that run on?
I'm not sure what that runs on because there's no home version of it. But as I say, you've got big machine guns again with it. You actually have to stay a certain distance away from the screen, or the guns don't register.
Oh yeah, I remember. Jaden were playing it, I think.
Yeah, and because me and him were about, and to reload the thing, you got to smack the bottom of the magazine.
Yeah.
To reload the gun.
Which is pretty good.
And the Terminators took a shitload of bullets to take out. Unless you was aiming for the head, but you still need a few clear shots to take the head out. But it's to be expected. These are machines.
Yeah.
And by all norms, they're bulletproof.
Not like the old Terminator 2 game where you can just shoot them a couple of times and the heads fly off on that. That was a load of shit, weren't it?
That was a slog of fun, that game was.
The only good thing about that is if you try pressing the start button without any credit in, you get Arnold Schwarzenegger say, "No way, Halsey." I don't even think it's his proper voice, because a lot of the time it don't sound like him.
But, that was just a slog of fun.
For Midway, I think.
Yeah.
And there's another, you were saying about that Terminator Salvation. A few years back, I played an Aliens, I can't remember what it was, but it was like a 3D one. It must have run on like pretty decent hardware. I played that when the PlayStation 2 was still like in its peak. So we're talking about 2004 or something. And that was really good. You sort of had the cursor on the screen as well, but it had massive guns that vibrated. I think it was by Sega. I can't remember what it's actually called, but it was Alien something or another. Sort of like the Marines, Colonial Marines or something.
Colonial Marines.
Yeah. But as I say, it was definitely by Sega, I'm sure it was.
I've never seen
it since. Because obviously Sega did Alien 3, didn't they, the game of that. Which makes no sense, because in the movie she doesn't have a gun. Because they're not allowed to have guns there, are they?
Yeah. Whose idea was that?
That's ridiculous. That's good. Well, Alien 3 is a shit movie. That's the worst one out of all of them.
Well, like I say, we've got a really good amount of memories just there for shooting games. But before we go, we'll go over the one time called Operation Wolf, like you said, on that one.
Yeah.
The actual only light gun game that actually didn't use a light gun.
Well, actually, I can think of a game that is a light gun type game, but with a target, that's older than Operation Wolf. What's it called?
You had one called Chiller, didn't you?
Chiller used light guns. Apparently, I had an argument with someone on YouTube. He said that it was banned in Britain. He was an American guy. And it wasn't banned in Britain because I played it in a number of arcades. And played it in Drayton Manor Park and Zoo when I was a little kid. So it weren't banned at all. That was by the same company that did Crossbow, which used a big crossbow gun. You ever seen that?
No, I've not seen that one.
That's by the same company. I can't remember what company did Chiller. But I know they did a few games, and that crossbow and another one. I can't think what the other one were called. Right, let's have a look. Empire City 1931, this game was called. I played it at a corner shop, and basically it's like a game with like gangsters and that. It's set obviously in 1931. And you control a target, and you've got to move the target around the screen and shoot people before they shoot you, basically. And you get like a timer that counts down, gives you a certain amount of time to find these gangsters and shoot them before they shoot you. And the only other button you've got is to duck out of the way. But it is, in essence, like a light gun game, but it doesn't actually use a light gun at all. Just a joystick and two buttons. It's pretty good if you've never played it, to check it out, because I think that had a sequel as it goes, but I can't remember what the sequel was called.
Well, Operation Wolf was the one that was basically a light gun game hidden behind a joystick. Because it basically was a preempt way to how the AimTrak light gun works. Just they made a cursor invisible. And you just moved it around the screen, so it moved accordingly.
Mm.
But they gave off a good impression that you was using a gun.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. But because the gun was always perfectly centered around various other, it was always the thing. So I remember the Operation Wolf arcade, which had a calibration thing, but that was just to make sure the joystick was centered.
Yeah, because it was sort of like had this full size Uzi, and it was unlike this block, and it only moved left and right or up and down. Mm. And that way it wouldn't go out of sync with where the screen was. Taito did it with a few of their games. Operation Thunderbolt obviously used the same thing but with two player. And then Space Gun done the same thing as well. Yeah, I played Space Gun.
That's the one I didn't actually play, so
they must have seen Aliens and wanted to rip it off, basically.
They must have done. But the funniest thing, the thing is, Operation Wolf was groundbreaking.
Yeah, at the time
in essence, yeah.
It was done
really well. You felt you were in the war zone with all your little 2D sprites, and it was just really, really good. Then when they released Operation Thunderbolt, I figured you've done a complete 180 of what was good. Because with Operation Wolf, each of the six missions, you were told, right, you need to shoot 35 men, 6 helicopters, 4 tanks.
Yeah.
And then that would change from time, and you got a certain amount of money. Operation Thunderbolt, you're just sitting there, it's like, shoot people,
and you get
shoot
to the end
people,
of the level.
Shoot. Yeah, and it just became a slog.
Oh, see, I like that on the arcade, Thunderbolt. Mm. A lot of people don't like it at all. And then Operation Wolf 3, I don't know, you don't like that at all. That is basically, like, they must have seen Lethal Enforcers and thought, oh, we can rip that off.
That game was terrible.
I like that. And then there's Operation Tiger as well, which tries to be Operation Wolf and Time Crisis rolled into one. Nothing emulates that now. I've only ever played it once. I can't remember. I think that may have even had a ducking thing like Time Crisis. I'm not sure. I might be wrong. But I do know it runs on like, really advanced, more advanced hardware, because that is in proper 3D and that.
Mm.
But nothing emulates it, unfortunately.
They will do in time. They will do in time. Right. That's us done for the fortnight. So, do you reckon we'll go for another trip down the arcade soon, bud?
Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt, we'll have to, because there's loads more games, arcade games, that we could talk about.
Well, fair enough then. Right, I chose this subject, so I'll let you choose what the next one's going to be.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
All right, so we will let you sit in suspense now on what Matt's going to choose. Right, finish it off. You seen anything good on the internet lately, games-wise?
Games-wise, only the ones that we've basically been playing. Multiplayer, I can't think what it... Final Exam was pretty good.
Oh, we mentioned Final Exam in the podcast. What was your opinions on it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was better than Shoot Many Robots because it weren't as repetitive.
Mm. And there's actually a nice, really genuine exploration feel to it as well.
Yeah.
If you want all your power-ups on your character, you have to go hunting for the additional weapons. You have to find the soda cans to give you the extra points to put into your character. So it gave you that little inspiration to sit there and not just go from A to B.
No.
Mm.
The levels are really big on it as well, which is really good.
Yeah, that was. I think was it the first and the second and the third stages. We were just sitting there. The first stage, we were just sitting there. It's like we did the first part of it. We're thinking, like, "Hooray, stage done!" What? It's not done. Uh-huh. And then the whole bit under the subway, and various other things like that. We're like, "This is actually really quite good." And turned out to be very surprised. So if you see it go cheap, because the Steam winter sale's coming up soon, I won't mention the autumn sale, because by the time this podcast will come out, it will have finished.
Yeah,
but if you find it cheap, I'd definitely say give it a go if you like a bit of old school games. And if you've got friends that can play it with you, definitely invest in a 4-pack. So then you could give a copy to all your mates and all have a go at playing at once. Okay, anybody good on YouTube that you've seen?
Recently, there's a guy I subscribe to called Irish Nerd Life. He does like basically gameplay videos on the Master System, Mega Drive, and does commentary. I thought some of the videos were good. He's done only a couple of Saturn videos, and he does basically unboxing, and talks about this game room he's building. He might have built it actually. I haven't watched many of those ones, but yeah, he seems really, really good. I like the videos he does, so I subscribe to him. Because I don't usually subscribe to that many people.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Irish. Okay, so that's Irish Nerd Life. That's a shout out for you, buddy. We'll leave a link to his channel underneath. I've been scooting around because I've been listening to a lot of the Blackbuster Critic. I do like this guy. This is a guy that if he wants to present problems with a system, no matter what system it is, he always comes out with the facts about these things, and he's consistently branded a fanboy, but he's not on that one. I've seen this guy do many debates, and I've seen him taking people down just by using pure logic and pure facts on that one. And he doesn't fanboy whatsoever. He loves his PC. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one video I saw which was great, where he basically said, "Yeah, I am a PC fanboy. I am a fan of my achievements. I built my machine. Yeah, I made my experience on my PC." And the way he put that context across was basically, if you've got a PC, you build your experience on the machine. The machine is yours. Yeah, but if you're playing on a console, you can't build that experience.
No, that's true.
Because essentially, it ain't yours. You have to do what they say because of what they put in. And I think it was a very fair comment on that. But of course, he gets branded as a PC elitist and everything like that, where it's just not true.
Yeah, people always slate people that've got PCs. Because my mate won't have any. Well, I say he don't like the PC. I got him that thingy. Oh, what's it called? Oh, Football Manager 2013. Yes, I know it's last year's one, but he didn't want a new one until he played that one. I got it for £13, yeah? It was still 30 on Steam, because he was going to get it on Steam, so I got it cheaper than the actual game from Game, believe it or not. And as much as he got Call of Duty Ghost and that, he's played that non-stop pretty much every day, for hours on end. So as much as he says he don't like the PC, he'll only play their manager games on the PC.
Because not being a fanboy to anything like this, it's what they run best on.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, they're a lot better on the PC than on the 360. And
it's exactly, because essentially to me, it's spreadsheet the game.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what it is. It's a mass of databases. I'm not going to knock Football Manager, not by a long shot. It's a game throughout history. It's good at what it does, and it does it well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been thousands of them, haven't they? There's even a Football Manager on a Commodore 64.
Yeah, exactly. We got to remember, that started off as, was it Championship Manager?
Yeah.
And that was under IDOS.
Yeah.
But then again, I think Championship Manager 3 or 4 was possibly the last one that was done with IDOS. Then there was a massive fallout from it.
Yeah, then Sega got the license.
Yeah, then Sega took the license. That was possibly the
best move they ever did. Which you wouldn't
expect. Sega aren't stupid. They know how popular that game is. And
yeah, but
they
it's not the sort of game usually that Sega would do, is it?
It's very true, but they know the returns. And
yeah.
And clearly the fact that every year there are so many people that are still happy to buy that game, they're obviously doing something right.
Yeah,
and I reckon they're a good thing. But like I say, coming from someone who's not a football fan, If you want a football management game, there is no better than that.
No, because he had a FIFA manager, and he reckons that's complete shite.
Yeah. I've not played FIFA manager myself, but I know with football manager, it's not just about the team. You have to manage the finances. It's everything. It is proper management.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah, and that's what some people like. They want that depth of the football club, which a lot of other management games just don't give you. And so here's a recommendation from a non-football fan. Football Manager is a good game.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't be interested in it myself, because it's not the sort of game I would play. But if you're into football and that, yeah, definitely.
If you're fed up of FIFA, the dreg version number 14, and they still haven't put anything.
He totally didn't write the new FIFA at all. He actually got rid of it about a week later.
It's like I was saying. It's like I said that they say, "Oh, we've got all these new features," and it's like
how bullshit. You got commentary, yeah, literally from when I was watching him play it that day, that had repeated itself every time Liverpool played. They told the same fucking story, yeah. Now, the commentary's got no better since the PlayStation 1 FIFA.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why I still play the original FIFAs on the Mega Drive. That's why I haven't, because that's when FIFA was at its best.
Yeah.
End of story. Okay, right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. That's us done for this fortnight. I think we're still at 2 minds if the next one will be a Christmas special. We'll have to wait and see, people. And back in the new year, definitely, if we don't do a Christmas one. And me and Will are taking over, I believe. So you're working with Andrew next.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Right. So you'll be hearing me and Will in the new year. We've not decided what we're going to do, so we'll talk about that soon. But more good stuff to come in 2014. Please drop by the website at www.rmifusion.com for more videos, reviews, and just anything else we like to stick on our site. Unfortunately, there is no picture of my ass, but never mind. I don't think there ever will be either, if you really want to ask that question. Okay. Okay, so it's a goodbye from me.
Yeah, it's bye from me. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you all soon.